something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message. The pursuit of purpose.
Hallelujah. As a child of God, you have a ministry and you have a mission. You have a ministry and you have a mission. Your ministry is your service to God and His church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your ministry is your service to God and the church of Jesus Christ, His body. So you are called to serve God. You have a ministry to Him. And we began to talk about part of that ministry as the ministry of a priest. In the house of God. And how you render service in the house of God. Did you know that all the service of the ministry in the Old Testament sanctuary was carried out by priests alone? If you were not a priest, you had no business carrying out any aspect of ministry in a sanctuary. Only the priests were given a responsibility in the sanctuary. And today, you are a priest. Hallelujah. And you're carrying out ministry in the sanctuary of God. It's your divine responsibility. The cleaning of the vessels was done by the priests. The cleaning of the sanctuary was done by the priests. They didn't call the people to do it. They didn't hire anybody from the other tribes to do it. Only the Levites. The slaughtering of the animals for the sacrifices was done by the priests. All the service of ministry was done by the priests. Hallelujah. And you'll recall the Bible tells us how that on a certain occasion, David, the king of Israel, wanted to bring the Ark of God into the city of David. He said, I live in a temple, in a palace, and the Ark of God is on that tent. So he said, this is not right. I've got to bring the Ark of God into its place. I've got to build a large temple for it, a tabernacle for it, and I'll bring the Ark of God into the temple. I'm going to build God a great temple. So that the presence of God will no longer be in the tents outside there, but inside the tabernacle. And he went about this until God spoke to him and said, here's what I want you to do. Tell your son Solomon to build it. All right? And Solomon built God that temple. Do you remember? Okay. But before Solomon, this thing that David wanted to do was to bring the Ark of God into the city of David. He wanted to bring it into the city. And he called his great men. And they got a beautiful cart, a new cart. And they got the best horses in Israel to drive the cart. And now he's going to bring the Ark of God into the city of David. And David is excited about this. He's so happy he's going to be bringing the Ark of God into the city of David. And, well, they got the cart all right and put the Ark of God on it and put two men to be with the Ark of God to stop it from shaking and to stabilize it while they drove it. And the people were happy and rejoicing on that day. But as they got to a rough place, the horses stumbled and the cart stumbled and the ark shook. And the two men tried to stabilize it there. And they put their hands on the Ark of God to keep it from falling. And the Bible says God smote them right there and they died for touching the Ark of God. And David, the Bible says, was afraid of God that day. And no longer brought the Ark of God to the city of David. He said, take it away. Don't bring it here. And he took it to the house of a certain man named Obed-Edom. And when the Ark of God was in that man's house, the man got blessed. He was so blessed. You know, there was such improvement in his life. There was such glory in his life and his family. And the news got to David. They said, look, you put the Ark of God in that man's house. And now he's so, I mean, everything is working out for him. The man is so blessed. So David said, that means nothing was wrong with the Ark. Maybe something was wrong with us. So he began to search the scriptures. And he found out in the scriptures that nobody was supposed to touch the ark. And that God killed those two men for touching the ark. And that there was a prescribed manner in which to transport the ark of God. It was not to be carried on a new cart, no matter how new the cart was. No matter how beautiful the horses were. God wasn't interested in that. What he was interested in was doing things God's way. You see, God has his ways of doing things. For example, he told you to take your tithes to the house of God. He didn't tell you to give your tithe to your grandmother. Are you listening to this? You can't use your tithe to do good, no matter how good the work is. You can't give your tithes to a suffering person because the person is suffering, so you're going to give him money, you give him your tithes. You can't give him your tithes. You can give him all the money you want to, but not your tithes. Why? Because, you see, the tithes belongs to God. God said, between me and my children, the tenth part, which is the tithes, he says, the tithe belongs to me. Now, he's not asking you to offer him your tithes. You got to understand the difference between your offerings, all kinds of offerings, and then the tithes and the first fruit offering. God doesn't give you the right to decide whether or not you will give him your tithes. Your tithes, it's God's claim on your prosperity. It is God's claim on your prosperity, and therefore his connection to your material and financial blessings. In other words, he says that the tithe belongs to him, such that if you don't give it to him, you are robbing him. Because it says, the tithe is mine. That's what he said. Now, you can give him whatever offering you choose to at any time you want to, but the tithe belongs to him, such that if you withhold the tithe, you are keeping back that which belongs to God. And he will take it from you, because he told you, you don't keep the tithe. You don't keep it, and you don't decide where you're taking it to. You're taking it to the house of God, where you're learning the word of God, where the word of God comes to you, where God ministers to you. There's where you take it to. The first fruit is also the same. The first fruit is not something you decide whether or not you're going to give to God. The first fruit belongs to God. He lays claim on the first fruit. You see that? Now, that is your assurance of prosperity. Because the Bible says, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Which means if you sanctify the first fruit, the rest of what comes to you will be sanctified of God for you. Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 0902-969-2794 or participate in our online church at www.cebeninzone1.org on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Or send an email to lwrtransmissions@lovell360.com.